The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter number 27, Text number 4. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari. Recorded on December 24th, 2016, in Melbourne, Australia.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Om Namo
Arte
hi
avidyamane api sanskriti na nivartate jayata vishayan asya svapne anarta agama Yata Arte Havidyamane Pi Sanshatir Nanivartate Jayato Vishayan Ashya Svapne Nartagamo Yata Arte Havidyamane Pi Sankshatir Nanivartate Jayato Vishayan Nashya Svapne Nardagamo Yata Arte
Real cause.
He
certainly.
Avidyamane.
Not existing.
Api.
Although.
Sarangshriti.
The material existential condition.
Na.
Not.
Nivartate
does cease.
Jayata
contemplating
Vishayam
objects of the senses
Asya
of the living entity
Svapne
in a dream
Anartha
of disadvantages
Agama
Arrival.
Yata.
Like. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Although a living entity is transcendental to material existence, actually, a living entity is transcendental to material existence. But because of his mentality of lording and over material nature, his material existential condition does not cease, and just as in a dream, he is affected by all sorts of disadvantages. Purport. The example of a dream is very appropriate. Due to different mental conditions, in dreams we are put into advantages and disadvantages, into advantageous and disadvantageous positions. Similarly, the spirit soul has nothing to do with this material nature, but because of his mentality of lording it over, he is put into the position of conditional existence. Conditional existence is described here as jayato vishayan asya. Vishaya means an object of enjoyment. As long as one continues to think that he can enjoy material advantages, he is in conditioned life. But as soon as he comes to his senses, he develops the knowledge that he is not the enjoyer. For the only enjoyer is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 5:29, He is the beneficiary for all the results of sacrifices and penances, Bhoktaram Jagatapasam. And he is the proprietor of all the three worlds, Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. He is the actual friend of all living entities. But instead of leaving proprietorship, enjoyment, and the actual position as the friend of all living entities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we claim that we are the proprietors, the enjoyers, and the friends. We perform philanthropic work thinking that we are the friends of human society. Someone may proclaim himself to be a very good national worker, the best friend of the people and of the country, but actually he cannot be the greatest friend of everyone. The only friend is Krishna. One should try to raise the consciousness of the conditioned soul to the platform of understanding that Krishna is his actual friend. If one makes friendship with Krishna, one will never be cheated, and he will get all help needed. Arousing this consciousness of the conditioned soul is the greatest service, not posing oneself as a great friend of another living entity. The power of friendship is limited. Although one claims to be a friend, he cannot be a friend unlimitedly. There are an unlimited number of living entities, and our resources are limited. Therefore, we cannot be of any real benefit to the people in general. The best service to the people in general is to awaken them to Krishna consciousness, so that they may know that the supreme enjoyer, the supreme proprietor, and the supreme friend is Krishna. Then this illusory dream of lording it over material nature will vanish. So, Prabhupada here is very much emphasizing the peace formula. This peace formula is given in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 5, text 29. Bhoktaram Jagatapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram Suhridam Sarvabhutanam Gyatvamam Shantamritschati. Only one who knows me is the supreme enjoyer, the supreme proprietor, and the supreme friend can receive peace from the pangs of these material miseries. The whole world right now is in great turmoil. There's so much havoc and chaos breaking loose everywhere. It's actually unbelievable how much the society is fragmenting. If you dare to look at the news to see the latest horrible atrocity, you see, every day another disaster. You see. Simply because they are missing this peace formula. If they would just come to this understanding, you see, that all the problems of the world could be solved. It's a very simple thing. The politician, he advertises himself as the best friend of his citizens. But yet he's condoning the abortion clinics and the slaughterhouses. How that can be a friend? Is it? These politicians, they're condoning the murder every day of 66,000 babies are being killed every day on this planet. 150 million animals every day. So how they can be the friends? You see, they advertise themselves as friends, but yet they're committing so many atrocities. It is simply hype, false hype. I'm the best friend of my citizens. And how they can claim proprietorship also. Krishna says, Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. Everything is owned by me. How anyone else can claim proprietorship? It is not possible. And who's the enjoyer of something? The owner. You see? Somebody tries to enjoy your car, you'll call the police. A thief has taken my car. You see? The owner, he is the rightful enjoyer. Others cannot enjoy. So, Krishna being the owner of everything, he is the actual enjoyer of everything. If we try to enjoy separately from Krishna, that is criminal activity. You cannot enjoy the property of someone else. It is not your position. That's what we're trying to do. The present moment, we're trying to enjoy this material nature. This is Krishna's material nature. We have no right to try to enjoy this material nature. One might ask, though, but aren't we enjoyers by nature, being part and parcel of Krishna? So how does it work then? If I'm not allowed to enjoy, then how can I even exist in any kind of sane state of mind? Well, it's very simple. If you make Krishna the enjoyer, then you enjoy automatically. Just like in your body, the belly is the enjoying organ. The food is enjoyed by the belly, you see. So the hand, he cannot enjoy separately the foodstuffs. That is not possible. But if the hand will see to the enjoyment of the belly by feeding the foodstuffs to the belly, then through the bloodstream, the hand will get its nutritional value also. It will get its enjoyment of the food as well. So we should always remember the example of the hand and the belly. Krishna is like the belly and we are like the hand. Therefore, we should never try to enjoy separately. The hand cannot get the benefit of the food separately. The hand can get the benefit of the food only when it serves it to the belly, and then automatically gets the benefit. So we will give up this foolish pursuit of trying to be the independent enjoyers and just try to do everything for Krishna's pleasure, you see. Then automatically we enjoy equally with Krishna, Prabhupada says. Actually, it's even described the devotee enjoys more than Krishna. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, and the devotee enjoys more than the supreme enjoyer. That's why Krishna has become Lord Chaitanya. He's saying, my devotee is enjoying more than me, so I don't want to be outdone. So I will become a devotee also. Krishna becomes a Hare Krishna, you see. So because Hare Krishna is enjoying more than Krishna. So he becomes a Hare Krishna, you see. So we don't say don't enjoy, but we say you have to understand how to enjoy. This is our teaching, you see. We don't say it's wrong to enjoy. We say it's wrong to enjoy wrongly. You cannot enjoy separately. You cannot do them. The hand cannot get the nutrition of value simply by squeezing the rice in the fingers. But when you feed it to the belly, then you get all nutritional values. So this is very, very important concept. We're trying to get the politicians to understand this. Okay. Because then all the problems will be solved of the world if they can just put Krishna in the center. But they're putting themselves in the center. That's the big, big problem. They all put themselves in the center. They put their nation, their own nation in the center. Every nation thinks it is the center of the universe. So we have to give up this mentality of thinking we are the center. And we have to understand Krishna is the center. That will bring the desired peace and prosperity for all. They've tried so many things and they've all been failures. They tried the League of Nations. After World War I, they started the League of Nations. World War II broke out, you see. And they started the United Nations. How many wars and conflicts are going on in the world in spite of the United Nations? Hundreds of conflicts and wars have come since the United Nations has formed. Hundreds of wars. You see, these League of Nations, United Nations, did not solve. Why? Because they're not putting Krishna in the center, they're putting God in the center. Ishavashamidam sarvam yadkincha jagadam jagat. Everything animate or inanimate that is within the universe is controlled and owned by the Lord. One should recognize this and accept only those things necessary for himself, which is set aside as his quota. This concept, Ishavashram, this must be introduced. to our world leaders. You see, God is the center. Now they want to deny God. It's like, look at the founding documents of the European Union. Is God mentioned anywhere in the European Union founding documents? Is there any mention of God? It's completely godless. At least in the U.S., they mention God in the founding principles of the country. But where is God in the European Union? There's nothing about God. Not absolutely zero about God. You see? How they expect to have peace and happiness in a godless civilization? This is fool's paradise. You cannot have peace and happiness without God. Therefore, we have to make a revolution on this planet. We have to bring God back to the center. In every institution, everything should be based on God. You see, government, education, entertainment, agriculture, every single aspect of the society, it must be God-centered. Only then we'll have happiness on this planet. Otherwise, it's just going to become unbelievably more and more hellish. As a child growing up in the 50s, I could never conceive of such things going on in the world today. Unbelievable what's happening. These people going crazy, taking guns, just going and starting shooting. It's unbelievable, such things. In our childhood, back in the 50s, we never dreamed that such things could happen, you see. People just take a gun and start shooting. It's just unbelievable that these things are going on, you see. But it's natural, because there's so many babies being slaughtered and so many innocent animals being slaughtered, the karmic reaction is bound to bounce back in our faces. It's bound to, it has to. The law of karma will act. If you commit violence upon innocent creatures, then you will also become a victim of violence. So we have to educate the people in general in these principles. Our government leaders have to be convinced of these things. And there has to be changes made in the society. Otherwise the whole thing is going to disintegrate. It's like the poet Yeats predicted. He said, things fall apart, the center cannot hold, mere anarchy is loosed upon the world. And that's predicted in the Bhagavatam. The whole thing, Prabhupada explains that in the end of Kali Yuga, it'll simply be like a jungle, like cannibals. It's you eat or you be eaten, that's all. The strong kill the weak and eat them. The whole human society will be reduced to the level of cannibals in the jungle. It'll be a horrible situation. And Kalki Avatar will come and he'll annihilate all these demons and bring in another Satya Yuga. But the good news is this. I don't want you all to get too depressed now, hearing all this bad news. But the good news is Lord Chaitanya's movement is predicted to bring a golden era of within the middle of the Kali Yuga. That golden era began 500 years ago with the advent of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it's a 10,000 year period. That means for the next 9,500 years, the Chaitanya era will be manifest in this planet. There will be an increase of God consciousness, Krishna consciousness, to the point where the whole world becomes inundated with it. It's a very nice verse in this connection. Saj janna dur janna pangu jadda anagana premavanyayala jubayala jagateda janna. This Krishna consciousness movement is a tidal wave of love of God. It will inundate the entire world and drown everyone, the pious, the impious, the lame, the invalid, the blind. Everyone will become inundated. So it's actually ecstatic, you see. So the more we can distribute these books, the more we can flood the world with this Harinam Sankirtan, the more we can ourselves become purified by quality sadhana, quality relationships, quality chanting, quality, sadhana, you see, that's bringing this revolution, this spiritual revolution to this planet. So we have a duty. Actually, Prabhupada gave us this duty. He told us that his disciples, he said, three things you must do. You must become perfect in understanding the science of Krishna consciousness. You must become guru, and you must deliver the whole world. So we have our family business, and we have to deliver the world. That's our mission. We have a world deliverance mission, not just simply to chant and dance happily in our temples and do a little Harinam every now and then. No. Our mission is to completely revolutionize the whole human society. That's our business. ISKCON business is to revolutionize the whole world. So how do we do that? Prabhupada also explains in another place in the Bhagavatam, he says, a Krishna conscious being is always thinking and planning how to deliver all the suffering humanity back to home, back to Godhead. Even if he's not successful in doing so, his perfection is guaranteed, and anyone who follows him will also become perfect. So, confirming that this is should be our meditation. How can I speak, act, and think in such a way to push forward the Krishna consciousness movement? That is the duty of every member of our society. And Prabhupada also explains in another place. He says, this is in the Chaitanya Charitamrita purport. He says, when one becomes perfect in chanting the holy names of the Lord without any offense, this is really an amazing quote. Prabhupada says, when one becomes perfect in chanting Hare Krishna mantra without any offense, he becomes Jagat Guru. And under his influence, the whole world takes to Krishna consciousness. So we need to... The point is, the more we become purified in our chanting, the more perfect we become in chanting Hare Krishna, the more of an uplifting, revolutionary impact we have on the global atmosphere. Just by purely chanting the holy name, one can actually have an impact on the whole universe. Sitting in your living room, chanting Hare Krishna purely, you can have an impact on the consciousness of the whole universe. That's how important it is to perfect one's chanting. You see. When Prabhupada gave initiation, he would also list the 10 offenses. He would describe the 10 offenses. So it's not just, chant 16 rounds and follow the principles. It's master the art of chanting without offense. So that's we have our internal revolution to revolutionize our consciousness, and then we have the external revolution to revolutionize the world around us, you see. So we will be successful in revolutionizing the world around us only to that extent that we revolutionize ourselves within, you see. So take this chanting process very seriously. Take the rules and regulations very seriously. This is your purification. We cannot spread Krishna consciousness successfully by holding on to the anarthas within our own hearts. We have to become pure devotees ourselves. You see. So maybe there's some questions. I can try to answer them. Who is your most favorite deity? It's an interesting one. We traveled with Sri Sri Radha Damodar, Damodar is very special for me, obviously. These deities here are also very special for me. Krishna Balaram and Vrindavan are very special for me. Radha Kala Chanji in Dallas are very special for me. I have many special deities. What is the difference between God consciousness and Krishna consciousness? Actually, they're the same thing. We are unable to do homeschooling for our child due to financial conditions. How can I still inculcate Krishna consciousness in my child's mind by inculcating it in your mind? To whatever extent you've awakened your Krishna consciousness, to that extent, you will be able to inculcate it in your own inner child. So you have to seriously cultivate pure bhakti, and that will inspire your children. What is the best way to control angerness? That's a new word, angerness. Angerness and enviousness. Use them in Krishna's service. Like, I'm really angry that they're killing 66,000 babies every day. That makes my blood boil. 66,000 babies are murdered by these rascals every day, these rascal governments. That's why I'm in the mood of wanting to revolutionize the world, because I can't stand this murder, all these heinous crimes going on by the governments. The Australian government sanctioning it, U.S. government, the so-called leading governments of the world are sanctioning these murders. So that's why I'm traveling and preaching. That's why I distribute books. That's why I go on Harinam. You see. That's why I take your anger and go out and sing and dance on the streets with great enthusiasm to attract all the people to the higher consciousness. I'm aspiring to chant sincerely with love, but when I start chanting, my mind just keeps thinking about something else. Please don't mention to leave your mind outside or be your mind. Please tell me practical advice. Well, Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati's advice is not practical. This is Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur's advice, that you should beat your mind with shoes. So you're saying that Bhakti Siddhanta's advice is not practical? You need to come to a higher level of understanding what our philosophy. How can you say the advice of Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur is not practical? Your understanding is not good. Actually, these are very good advices. So instead of trying to correct the advice you're being given, try to understand the advice you're being given. It's very good advice. It's not my advice. I'm giving the advice of Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur to beat the mind with shoes. But there are other advices too. If that one's a little too heavy for you, then the advice of Govindadas is also very good. He says, Bajahu re mana Srinanda nandana abhaya chadanada vindade. So instead of beating the mind, he's saying, my dear mind, please engage yourself in the service of the divine son of Ananda Maharaj. So if beating the mind doesn't work, well, try the approach of Govindadas. My dear mind, please do this. Try that approach. Why illicit sex is prohibited? Because it locks you into identification with your material body. That's why. There's nothing that brings one more intensely into bodily identification than illicit sex life. So we have to get free from this bodily conception. Otherwise we remain caught up in karma chakra. Why having sex with your wife is also called illicit sex and is prohibited? It's not. If you're following the regulated principles, that sex is spiritual. If you're trying to give your wife a child, you're following the principles that Prabhupada gave us to chant at least 50 rounds. Husband and wife both chant at least 50 rounds of japa just after the menstrual cycle. That's very that's not illicit. That's pure spiritual sex. So, if we want only one child, does that mean we can only have sex once with my wife? As many times, you can have sex as many times as you need to have that one child. And after, if you only have one child, then you should stop after that point. The thing is that one may feel frustrated. I have these sexual desires. I want to satisfy them. So it doesn't seem fair that I'm not allowed to satisfy them. But that's an incorrect understanding. One actually experiences by awakening his Krishna consciousness a pleasure many, many times greater than sex pleasure. So one has to understand it's not that you're giving up something. You're actually gaining something which is much more relishable, much more enjoyable. So this understanding has to be there. one should not feel frustrated. If one is frustrated, one doesn't understand how to awaken that pleasure which is greater than sex pleasure within the heart, the pleasure of love for Krishna. Yesterday you mentioned that we have to be enthusiastic. Can you please advise on how to be enthusiastic and how to maintain that enthusiasm? Prabhupada explains that if one simply follows the regulated principles, he will naturally be enthusiastic. So we have our principles, no illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling. If one follows them sincerely, then he will naturally feel enthusiastic. If you violate them, your enthusiasm will go away. So strictly follow the rules and regulations, chant at least 16 rounds of japa, and you will feel wonderful enthusiasm within your heart. I keep reading and listening to lectures, but I'm not able to remember when I'm speaking to a new person. Please guide. What can help for those of us who have Kali Yuga memories, like myself, you get a notebook. At some point you go, wow, that's a really great point. You have you write it down, you see. And then you go back and you review your notes. These things will help. Sometimes I feel disappointed by seeing arrogance in seniors or, quote, advanced devotees in their tendency to lord it over new devotees. Why don't you look at the arrogance in your own heart? You see? It was very easy for us to find fault in others, but we have a very difficult time finding faults in ourselves. Aniruddha Prabhu yesterday was explaining to me very nicely that actually we should see the good qualities in others and see the faults in ourselves, you see. This is a devotee. So, practice that art. See the arrogance in yourself, and you'll actually begin to realize that devotee is not as arrogant as I thought. Actually, I'm the one who's arrogant. Where does the Paramatma go once the soul reaches the spiritual world? Prabhupada says the Paramatma is not in the spiritual world. Krishna is there in his full, his Bhagavan. He's not there as Paramatma. Paramatma is within the material world, Prabhupada explains. I understand that Vedic knowledge is called perfect knowledge, but I'm not able to agree with everything. For example, it says that love in this world is lust. But yes, maybe for some people, but not everyone is loving others with lustful thoughts. Well, lust can have different meanings as well. Lust can also refer to lording it over mentality, or using that person for your enjoyment, even if it's not sexual. So actually the love of the... Prabhupada talks about love in different ways, in different places in his book. Sometimes he calls it love. First you love your family members, then you love the people, your next door neighbors, then you love your whole city, and then you expand your love finally until it reaches God. Prabhupada also explains it in that way as well. So it is love in one sense, but in the highest sense it is not. Because actual love means purely giving without any expecting anything in return. So in a relative sense, we can say yes. But in the highest sense, no. Why do we want to lord it over even as a devotee? That lording it over propensity is very deeply ingrained in our psyches. That's what's brought us here. And to get over it is very, very difficult. That lording it over a tendency. So it takes some time. But if you diligently follow this process, according to the teachings of Srila Prabhupada, that lording it over propensity will gradually go away. Can you please tell us the importance of distributing Prabhupada's books? It's absolutely essential. Without the knowledge that Prabhupada has given us being disseminated to the world, it's impossible. The world situation will improve. Impossible. absolutely impossible. It's an emergency situation. The whole world is going into ever-increasing chaos, and these books are the only thing that can save the world. So we have to flood the world of Prabhupada's books. And Prabhupada is being compassionate upon the fallen souls. He wants very much to see that we do this. You mentioned about the quality of sadhana, but what does it mean, quality in sadhana? How to improve the quality? There's ahaitakiya pratiyata described in the Bhagavatam. Unmotivated and uninterrupted. Keep that sadhana going 24 hours a day. That's the first thing to improve it. No gaps. And without any motive. Just for the sake of pleasing Krishna, not that I'm trying to get something material for myself. Those two things. How can I have love for the deities? By serving them. Why do we keep repeating the same philosophy that we are not this body? Because we haven't realized it yet. You say, well, I already know that I'm not my body. Why do you like to hear that again? Every time I come to class, they keep telling me I'm not the body. I already know I'm not the body. But you haven't realized it, Prabhu. You may say I'm not your body, but you still act, think, and feel as if you are your body. That's why you're hearing it again and again. I feel that grihastha life of devotees is very boring. There's no loving exchanges. They're always serious with each other. You think seriousness is something not loving? You think Prabhupada, who was the most serious person you could ever meet, is not a loving person? Seriousness means sobriety, understanding the importance of Krishna consciousness. Actually, the more you become serious, the more you can have sweet, genuine, loving exchanges. How strong is karma? Is very, very strong. But Krishna is even stronger. How to control the natural urges of sinful nature by engaging your senses? Rishikesha Rishikena Sevanam. Your senses are very lusty, they want sense gratification, but if you engage them in the service of Krishna, they become satisfied more than any amount of sense gratification that you could ever give them. Can you please explain how we get association by reading books? There's so many great personalities in these books. Prabhupada is there. So many, Srila Vyasadeva, Lord Brahma, Narada Muni. There's so many great associated devotees we're associating with in these books. Is it really important to chant 16 rounds? It's absolutely essential. It's the order of Srila Prabhupada. I just get time to listen to the Bhagavatam. Chanting some rounds here and there, isn't it enough? Well, if you want to go back to Godhead, no, it's not enough. It's Prabhupada's order. You cannot neglect the order of Srila Prabhupada and go back to Godhead. You have to find a way to do it. Somehow or other, Krishna will help you. If you're sincere in your desire, Krishna will help you. Should one follow all the rules and regulations to the core, or can they be changed based on personal circumstances? Well, the four regulated principles has to be followed to the core. Other things can be sometimes adjusted, depending on time, place, and circumstance. But the four regulated principles and chanting 16 rounds, there's no adjustment for that. You have to follow them. Which life do you recommend to your disciples, brahmachari or grihastha? It depends on the disciple. Everybody has a different nature, a different mood, a different situation. So there's no pat or standard thing for everyone. Everybody is an individual, and they're advised individually according to their nature and their situation. Why family life is called andakupa, a dark well? We don't always say it's a dark well. It's a dark well if you're not Krishna conscious. But if you're Krishna conscious, it's the Vaikuntha world. It's the spiritual sky. Married life is the spiritual sky if you're Krishna conscious. Can you please tell us which devotee has influenced you the most in cultivating Krishna consciousness? Prabhupada, of course. Can you tell us when you became serious in your Krishna consciousness? In 1971. When I accepted Prabhupada as my spiritual master, that's when I became serious. What is your thought about sati something? Meaning that like in earlier, the wife used to get, when the husband dies, the wife jumps into the funeral pyre and burns for their husband. What do you think about that? We don't need to do that. The wives should not do that. Because we are in the fire of Lord Chaitanya's movement. We're already in the fire of Lord Chaitanya's movement. So if your husband dies before you, you don't need to jump into the funeral pyre. Ladies, you don't need to jump in the funeral pyre. When we serve Gornitai and Jagannath Baladev and Subhadra, I'm thinking of Lord Vishnu's form in one of my favorite temples. Is it okay to think of a different form of Lord other than the one that you serve? Actually, it's the same Lord. It's the same Lord. When I see Jagannath, that's actually Krishna himself. You know, Jagannath is actually Krishna in ecstasy. You know the Leela? Yeah, they were in Dwarka, and one of the, was it Rohini? Devi? Vishnupriya Devi? Who was he discussing the Vraj Leela in Dwarka, in the room?
Rohini,
yeah.
Was telling Devaki.
Who?
Devaki Mataji.
Rohini was telling Devaki about the Vrindavan Leela. And then who came first?
Krishna.
Huh?
Krishna
was hearing this. And he was feeling great separation from Vrindavan. Actually, he was feeling tortured being separated from Vrindavan. And when he started to hear about it, he went into complete ecstasy. In fact, his limbs shrunk and his limbs shrunk and his eyes became very big and he went into a state of, his body went into a weird, some usual ecstatic state. It's Jagannath. That's actually Krishna in the ecstasy of hearing about Vrindavan. And then Balaram came along. What's going on here? He tuned in and he also... And Subhadra also came along. This is the Krishna, Balaram, and Subhadra in the ecstasy of hearing of Vrindavan Leela. The ecstasy in of Vrindavan, in separation. So it's very, very powerful. And Prabhupada explained that, there's the esoteric understanding of Ratha Yatra. Lord Chaitanya pulled the cart in the mood of bringing Krishna back to Vrindavan. You see, what Prabhupada told us, I remember when I first was there with Prabhupada, he told us how on the occasion of the solar eclipse, the Dwarkavasis and the Brijavasis, they all got together at Kurukshetra. And the gopis are seeing Krishna again, especially Radharani, she's seeing Krishna again, you see. So she's so happy to see him, but yet she's feeling something is lacking. This is Dwarka. This is a Dwarka prince. I want my Vrindavan cowherd boy. You understand? It wasn't her Krishna. It was a different... He was different now. She didn't like... She liked it because it's Krishna, but she didn't like it because it wasn't her Krishna. You know what I mean? So in their hearts, the gopis and Radharani were pulling Krishna back to Vrindavan. Pulling back to Vrindavan. So in this mood, one should pull the cart on the Ratha Yatra car, pull the rope on the Ratha Yatra car. That the Vrijavasis are dying in the separation from Krishna. We have to bring Krishna back to Vrindavan to revive the Vrijavasis. So you're pulling Krishna back to Vrindavan, pulling that rope, back to Vrindavan, back to Vrindavan. So yeah, when you see the deity, you can think of so many different leelas, you can think of, there's no restriction like that. Who is the devotee that guides you in your service, spiritual life after His Holiness Vishnu Janaswami and His Holiness Vishtama Krishna Goswami? Yes, our grace Srimati Vishnu Priya Devi Dasi. She's a great inspiration and for me. Listening lectures through the phone or the tape, how much benefit compared to listening face to face? It depends on the quality of your hearing. Actually, you get more benefit by hearing the recording than being there live, if you're depending on your consciousness. If you're sitting in the lecture, thinking, when is this lecture going to be over? I'm going to get out of here and go take some prasadam. But it's compared to somebody who's just completely absorbed in hearing that recording. It depends on your consciousness. There's no restriction. Marriage is just a material custom. Why does it exist? Marriage is that you will only enjoy one woman. It's to restrict you in your sense enjoyment. Is divorce allowed in Krishna consciousness? No. It's nonsense. If not, why are there so many divorced devotees? Because they weren't following the injunction. They were deviating from Dharma by getting divorced. I do not have too many questions. Is that good or bad? You should have at least one question. Is how can I become a pure devotee of Krishna? Everyone must have that question. I don't think I can ever be a good preacher. Should I just leave preaching? No. You will become the most expert preacher if you just go out and start doing it. Qualification, no qualification, doesn't matter. If you simply tell people about Krishna, you will become an expert preacher in due course. I have a liking to watch movies and hear movie songs, but I feel it is not affecting my Krishna consciousness. And why do I have to give it up? Well, actually, you don't really have Krishna consciousness yet to be affected. That's why you're very interested in watching movies. You're not even Krishna conscious yet. So once you actually become Krishna conscious, then you understand why it's not. It's like we go out, my wife and I fly in the airplanes, so many flights every year, and now they have your own personal movie. Used to be you had to watch the movie, it used to be everybody saw it whether you liked it or not. But now you have your own little personal thing, your own little thing. You can watch movies, pick out the ones you want. But we don't watch movies. It's just a waste of time, And they all have lusty things that are having the sex scenes, you see. Here we are trying to give up lust and we're watching some sex scene in a movie. It's crazy. Just crazy. Why pollute your consciousness? Why not, hear a lecture or read a book or take a nap, Why pollute your mind watching some mundane movie? I'm a student. I have a desire to become a brahmacharya, but I'm very attached to my parents. What should I do? Please help. Well, you've been attached to your parents for millions and billions of lifetimes, and where did it get you? Yeah.
If you're attached to your parents, you should become a devotee.
This is a very nice point that my wife is making, because when you become a devotee, your parents get delivered. So if you really love your parents, you will fully surrender to Krishna, and that will deliver your parents automatically from the cycle of birth and death. Very good point. Thank you. Why is eating an onion and garlic and tea, coffee, are not included in the Bodhagata principles? They are included. What is it? No illicit sex, no meeting, no toxic... they're not directly stated there. Why is it mentioned that you should only take... Why isn't only taking prasadam mentioned? These things are understood. I mean, I don't know why we have to make a big deal out of it. Krishna clearly states in the Bhagavad Gita, yagyashashnashanashanto muchanse sarvikil bishai bundate tepakam papam yipachatyat makarana, that the devotees of our Lord are released from all kinds of sins because they eat food which has been offered first for sacrifice. Others who prepare food for personal sense enjoyment rarely eat only sin. So we can only take those foods which can be offered in sacrifice. That's very clearly stated in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3, text 13, I believe. Can we think these are to be optional? Well, is Krishna's teachings optional? I can be a devotee without obeying Krishna? No. Being a devotee means you obey Krishna. So it's not an option. The thing is, we only take prasadam, and these things are not offerable. Onion and garlic stink. They're unfit for offering. They have a foul odor. They're not fit for being offered to the Supreme Lord. How you can even want to eat them? They're so foul and disgusting. You ever heard the saying, onions on his breath? It's like, get away from me, you got onions on your breath, you know. How would you want to even eat such things, stinky things? How do we understand the atrocities and killings of women and children? Is it their karma? Or is it because of demoniac leaders? Both things. If someone is a child and gets aborted, that means they aborted someone in their previous life and now they're getting their karmic reaction. But that doesn't justify it. You have to put a stop to it to break the cycle. I do not want to marry. I want to travel the world alone. I don't want to be a brahmachari either. Well, why don't you become a devotee? I mean, that'd be much better than just being a wanderer. There's many people who wander around the world, and you can wander around the material world for millions of lifetimes. Why not become a devotee instead of you're hankering to be a world wanderer? But you will wander for millions and millions of lifetimes in this material world in that mood that you're in now. Give up the mentality of wanting to be a world wanderer, become a devotee of Krishna. That will satisfy you, not wandering the world. How to deal with a devotee husband whose philosophy is my way or the highway? Train him up. You have to train him up. If you're with you have to teach him what the philosophy is. My way of the highway is not the philosophy. It's Krishna's way of the highway, not my way of the highway. My dear husband, I appreciate that you want to dominate me, but remember that you also must be predominated by Krishna. Otherwise, you're not a proper husband. Train your husband up how to be a proper husband. I feel we should be allowed vegetarian meals outside. Okay, I understand you feel that way. Well, good luck on your sadhana. As I said, my wife and I fly all over the world. We can order vegetarian meals. We never order vegetarian meals because they're cooked by karmis, and the knife that they cut the carrot with, they maybe just cut a piece of meat with it. Also, you know what I mean? So, I mean, why are you so loose in your sadhana? How do you expect to awaken your Krishna consciousness if you can't even discipline your senses a little bit? You know, you go ahead and eat your vegetarian meals, but don't expect to go back to Godhead. Eating the vegetarian meals here and there cooked by karmis. If you're thinking it's okay and you want to just do it without any restriction, if it's an emergency situation, okay. If there's an urgent situation, okay. There's a license, you know. But as a routine thing, no. My wife and I, we never do it, and we fly all over the world. 60 flights a year, yes. So you go home and your parents are meat eaters. Well, you could, if they're a little bit cool, you could say, well, Mom and Dad, we have a really nice, something you might really enjoy doing, cook a vegetarian dinner and we can offer it to Krishna. And those, for preaching, you could do that.
But all utensils have been used for cooking meat.
Yeah, you're getting down to nitty. I remember I asked Tamal Krishna about this one time. And he was a little bit flexible on that. When you get down to that level, the best thing is you go out and buy some new utensils. The best thing. Go out and buy some utensils. Say, Mom and Dad, I have a... We did this one time with our families. They at Christmas dinner, we said, cook a vegetarian dinner and we'll offer it to Krishna. And all the family got together. And it could have worked out really well, but my brother's wife got all uptight and she turned it into a nasty thing. She started complaining. Everybody else was cool, but she ruined it. My brother's wife. But yeah, you just go out and buy some new utensils. Say, Mom and Dad, I have a great idea. This, you can actually have a sacramental meal right here in your own home, just like in Christianity, we'd have the Holy Sacrament. You know. I think two or three times a year we get a little wafer about that big. Get a microscope to look at it. So small. Holy sacrament. But Mom and Dad, we're going to have a special thing. We're going to have a whole meal that's a holy sacrament. And you can help all cook together, and you can buy some new utensils. Make a special thing out of it, you know. And they say, we keep these utensils special. Whenever we come, we'll have a sacramental meal. In this way, make a big, you know, like a festival out of it, you know. Make it very attractive. And they make it, if they're a little bit pious, they're like, yeah, we'll give it a try, sure. Anything to please our daughter, you know. We'll give it a try. In this way, they make a lot of advancement, you know. What do you suggest to a newly married couple how to live their lives? Well, you should get initiated and follow the rules and regulations of Krishna consciousness, and then your marriage will be in the spiritual world. It won't be in the material world. That's have a Vaikuntha marriage, living in the spiritual world. So any other questions now? I see that we ran out here. Anybody from the internet have a question? This is from Bhakti Sunil from India. Does fasting on Ekadasi days begin at 12 a.m.? It's from sunrise to sunrise. That's when the Ekadasi begins. When the sun rises, that's when the Ekadasi begins, and it ends. Then the Devadasi comes the next day when it's sunrise. That's how you calculate it, sunrise to sunrise. Okay? Yes?
One funny story. I heard of a Grihastha couple when they were at their parents' place, and they purified.
Let me turn up. I'm going to turn up my hearing aid here. Got an amp it up here with my little device here. See if I can hear it. Okay, try again.
So they're at their parents' place, and they cook the feast for their parents using their pots. But before they use the pots, they purified it with calcium. Of course, the parents.
The parents couldn't understand putting cow dung on the. They thought the parents thought it contaminated the pots, I guess. Yeah, the best thing is to buy new pots. They will never understand cow dung. Cow dung. You're polluting our pots, you know. They wouldn't understand. Okay, thank you all very much for coming. Srimad Prabhupadam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Premanandi.
Jai Srimad Sankarsana Dharikari ki jai.